Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Listen to his testimony in verses 16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary lightness of affliction works out for us more and more surpassingly an eternal weight of glory. Surely this is the testimony of one who is longing to meet the Lord. Yet one thing remained in Paul's spiritual journey, as we will see in chapter 5, his longing to have his earthly body or tabernacle replaced with a heavenly one. Dick Taylor has joined us. Dick, welcome back to the program. I've been away for a while, and you and Matt Miller have been carrying on in a number of these programs. Thank you for taking care of things while I was away, and thank you for coming again today.
You're welcome, Chris, and it is a joy to be here, and especially to see in this chapter this desire to be clothed upon, and that is to be transfigured through the dispensing of Christ as the life-giving Spirit to make our entire tripartite being the same as Christ is in life and nature.
Dick, I used the word transformed in the introduction. You just used the word transfigured in relationship to Paul's outer body. Talk for just a moment about the difference between transformation and transfiguration.
In a sense, the distinction is that transformation is the process we go through, beginning with regeneration. All the way from being born again, we pass through the process of transformation. And you could say the consummation of transformation is transfiguration of our body. Transformation is like our brother has illustrated, like ink soaking through pages of a book.
Right.
And you could say page one with many subpages is our spirit. Page two with many, many, many pages is our soul. And the last page to be inkified, that is saturated with Christ, to be transformed, which means it's going to change, which would be transfigured, to be a body like his body of glory, that last page is our body. So we want to be those who stay in the experience of Christ as our wonderful organic or life savior to the point where we reach the matter of transfiguration. And we are full of hope, Chris, because Christ is in us as the life-giving Spirit, and he has pledged himself to do this job. And we'll see this in a couple of minutes.
Dick, I've got a couple of verses now to bring forth from chapter 5 that I think really underscore the point you just made, this matter of our transfiguration being the end result of the full transformation work that has been ongoing and is ongoing in our being by the Spirit as it operates. And Paul mentions both of these things in these first verses in chapter 5. Verse 2 says, "For also in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our dwelling place from heaven." Now, in verse 5, he says, "Now he who has wrought for us this very thing is God, who has given to us the Spirit as a pledge."
Amen.
I like the word wrought. I like the word Spirit. I like the word pledge, Brother Dick.
Me too. Wrought, Spirit, pledge.
All right, let's join Witness Lee.
Up to the end of chapter 4, the apostle was really matured. He was regenerated in his spirit, and he was transformed in his soul. His entire being is renewed. The only thing that is not finished is the full redemption of his physical body. His physical body is still there, remaining old, not changed yet, not transfigured. So, in the following verses, he expresses his aspiration, his longing. Oh, we just desire to be clothed with a resurrected body, a body of resurrection. This thought covers the first 8 verses. God is going to clothe us with a body of resurrection. You have to know, to be so clothed, you need some qualification. Suppose here is a sinner. He expects to be clothed with a body of resurrection. No, he is not qualified. To put a body of resurrection upon him, this doesn't fade. A sinner is not fading. So God is working on a sinner to take away his sins, to forgive his offenses, and to put the divine life into him, to regenerate him, and go on further to transform him. This is to shape him. How God shaped us? Read on. He has wrought us for this very thing. This one is God, who has given to us the pledge of the Spirit. The main item with which God shaped us is to put himself as the life-giving Spirit in us, as a pledge. God has pledged himself that he would do this for us. He has put himself into your spirit as the life-giving Spirit to be a pledge, to guarantee that surely one day he will clothe you with a body of resurrection, because you have been shaped, you have been prepared, you have been made for this purpose, and you are qualified.
Dick, let's go back and look at this verse again that we read a moment ago in chapter 5, verse 5, and then pick up the points he made here. There are several that are touched, I think, in this verse. Now, he who has wrought us for this very thing is God, who has given to us the Spirit as a pledge. First, this word wrought, in many of the word studies of the New Testament, point out this word can also be translated as shaped. Mm-hmm. Help us understand this verse according to that usage of this term.
I appreciated what our brother shared in this message, and that is that shaped means that we need to be made fit. The Lord wants to clothe us with himself as the transfigured body, but he cannot clothe us with himself in such a way if we are not fit. So I think fit is a very good word. What does this mean? It means that from the bottom up, we need him and we need all of his working, that is his shaping. And that includes, like Brother Lee mentioned, as sinners, we need forgiven of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And we need redeemed through his precious blood back to God himself.
Right.
And we need to receive the divine life, which is Christ, as the life-giving Spirit into our spirit. We need regenerated. And now we need the spreading of this wonderful Christ into our heart. And this is the transformation that we've been talking about. So to be fit, to be qualified, to be shaped, to be wrought, means we need all of this preparation work so that Christ, as the life-giving Spirit, can bring us into the final stage of equipping us to be permanently with him and part of him and to be the same as he is in his life and nature, and that is to be clothed upon with a body of glory. So transfiguration requires that we be wrought, we be shaped, we be fit, we be qualified. And what's that mean? It means in our daily life, every day, we would be people who turn to our spirit where he is, open to him, love him. Lord, I love you. Praise the Lord. Enjoy him, breathing him in through his word, fellowshipping with each other, meeting for his glory and his exaltation. Then he spreads, he transforms us. All of this is his shaping. And eventually the last stage, which Paul is groaning for, we can be clothed upon with Christ as the very body of glory.
Dick, according to this verse, he's given us the Spirit to do this shaping, fitting, qualifying work, transforming work.
Right.
But he's also given the Spirit as a pledge or as a guarantee. So there's a certainty here, isn't there, that God will perform this ultimately to the point of our full transfiguration even.
That's right. And when God guarantees, God guarantees. I like the word pledge. My pledge is the job will be done.
Hallelujah.
I guarantee that you will become the same as I am. And that's because He, as the Spirit within our spirit, is the very pledge. You know also, Chris, what I like? Pledge also means foretaste.
Yes.
Even every day when we turn to Him and call on His dear name, fellowship with Him, you know what happens? We have a taste of the full taste that our entire being, spirit, soul, and body, we would be like Him.
Well, Dick, we have the Apostle Paul now who really has come through, for the most part, this transformation process. He's ready to be clothed upon. He's longing. He's groaning. But for the sake of us, the believers, those whom he was caring for, the Lord doesn't bring him into that stage of glorification just yet. And so now, Paul, in this interim period, we see in verse 9 what is in his heart, what is in his desire, even though for himself he'd be better off to go, but yet he remains for our sake. Verse 9 says, "Therefore also we are determined, whether at home or abroad, to gain the honor of being well-pleasing to him."
Amen.
"For the love of Christ," in verse 14, "constrains us, because we have judged this, that one died for all, therefore all died." Let's go back to Witness Lee, Dick.
Read verse 9. "Wherefore also we are ambitious. We are waiting to be clothed with the body of resurrection by Him. As we are waiting for this, we are ambitious." Not ambitious to get a degree, not ambitious to get a high promotion, but ambitious to please the Lord. Then from this point, Paul goes on to verse 14. 14 says, "For," again. "For" is a connecting word, F-O-R. It gives you the connection. "For the love of Christ constrains us. We are ambitious to please the Lord, for His love constrains us." The word "constrains" in Greek means press on from all sides, holding to the one end. Very meaningful. This Greek word means what? A wall is built, wall at the back. A wall is built at the right. Another wall is built at the left. And in the front, walls are built, just leaving a narrow gate. Where's the way? I'm constrained. Do you believe that you love the Lord? You have to say yes. Without all the walls built up by the Lord, probably you got our way already. But no need for me to tell you. You know already. Around you, walls, walls. No way out. There's no way out. There's only a narrow way. Amen. So I am forced to get out here. Who is here? Jesus is here. Amen. This is the only way. The love of Christ constrains me, prizes me from every side, holding to one end, to one goal. Don't think this is my choice. If it is up to me, I should have other choices already. Amen. Well, it's not up to me. The love of Christ constrains me to live to Him.
Dick, that's the love of Christ that constrains me. This is a very experiential section, it seems to me, what he was just talking about. We all know this sense of being limited, constrained, and what is creating this constraining limitation is the love of Christ, isn't it?
Really so. And I like this verse, Chris, where it says, we're determined to gain the honor of being well-pleasing to him.
Right.
And I tell you, the only way to be well-pleasing to him is because the love of Christ constrains us. Like Brother Lee said, all of us, if we had our choice, we'd have gotten away.
Right.
But thank the Lord for the wall on the left side, behind us, the right side, and just leaving us a little narrow opening, which means we live to him. So I love the pressing, constraining love of Christ, which what? Enables us to actually be well-pleasing to him. You know, because if we are just left on our own, we'll never be well-pleasing to him.
That's right.
So if we really want to be clothed upon with our body of transfiguration, we need in our living to be well-pleasing to him. But to be well-pleasing to him, we need the love of Christ to keep constraining us. Otherwise, we just go out on our own. So we cannot thank the Lord enough for this precious, constraining love of Christ. And I was just thinking, a brother illustrated one time, he said, have you ever been to the Amazon River? It's one of the biggest rivers in the world. The mouth of it is about 100 miles wide. And when you're on the river, you look up into the hills, it's such a constraining river. It's almost like it's pulling the water out of the hills and pushing it into the ocean. And this is like the constraining love of Christ, not only walling us in, but pulling us, constraining us to just go in one direction toward Jesus himself only.
Right.
So that means the love of Christ is constraining us for what reason? As we'll see a little more in the broadcast, it's to live to him. And this is a living that's well-pleasing to him. And this qualifies us to be clothed upon with a body of transfiguration. So all these sections really fit together. And thank the Lord for this precious section on the constraining love of Christ. And isn't it true, Chris, because of him loving us, we respond in love to him. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for constraining us, pressing us in from all sides that we might live uniquely to you.
Dick, this thought of living to Christ is probably a new one I'm considering here, listening to this, looking at the verses. Most people think in terms of living maybe for God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But living to him, and that's literally what we have in verse 15. You just mentioned it. And he died for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised.
Amen.
Let's hear a little bit more about what it is to live to the Lord as opposed to just doing things for the Lord. Here's Witness Lee once more.
According to the thought, to the concept that is conveyed in chapter 5, we Christians today should not live for the Lord, doing things according to our concept for him. Don't you know today you do a lot of things for the Lord, but not to him. You do not live to him. He wants you to put yourself to the death of Jesus, to terminate your natural man, to terminate your active being. You were born so active. You were born so aggressive. He wants you to terminate this aggressive being. But you do a lot of things by your being aggressive. So this kind of doing for the Lord offends him. And this distracts you from the enjoyment of him. So you need to be constrained by his love just to live to him. To live to him means what? To deny your outer man. Now you can see there is a continuation in verse 16. Verse 16 says what? So that. This is a continuation. This is a conclusion of the foregoing verses. In the foregoing verses 14 and 15, we are told that we have to live to Christ. And this means don't live by your outer man. Don't live by your flesh. You must live by your inward man. You must live by the regenerated spirit. So, verse 16 says, so that we from now on know no one according to flesh. We don't know anyone according to our man. when the life of the church is proper, all the leading ones and all the serving ones do not know you according to outer man. They know you according to the inward man, according to the Spirit. Then verse 17 says, so that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Now the new creation is brought in. What is new creation? The new creation is just a man regenerated with the life of God. A man living in the inward man. Not a man living in the outer man.
Dick, if I remember right, at the beginning of this portion, he talked about how it is possible for us to be doing a lot of things for the Lord, mm-hmm. but not necessarily living to the Lord. Mm-hmm. It reminded me in the Gospels where those ones came to him and said, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many things in your name? And he had to dismiss them because though they had so-called done so many things for him, there really was no living there that was to him, was there?
No. And Chris, what I'm touched with about living to him as opposed to living for him is it means you are really one with him. And it's like, suppose your wife didn't care at all about you as a person, but she did many, many things for you. Eventually, you're not satisfied
not
at
satisfied.
All. But what she does for you should come out of living to you. And that means in oneness with you. Then you're really pleased. You're really happy. And it's like the verse we talked about earlier. We want to be well-pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
How can we be? Only by living in oneness with him. And that means not living according to the outward man, but living according to the inward man, living in the new creation, which means living according to Christ in our spirit. You know, we can either live today as Christians in one of two ways, either according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. According to the flesh is the outward man, the old man. That's just us without Christ. And we may, in the outward man, do things for him.
Yes.
This is not well-pleasing to him. This is not living to him. On the other hand, we can live to him by always practicing to turn to him and to be one spirit with him, enjoying him as our inward man, the new creation, so that everything we do is to him. And this is really well-pleasing to him. So I appreciate how this broadcast ends by focusing on the new creation.
The new creation.
And that we would be those who live not according to the flesh, but according to the inward man, according to the Spirit, according to the new creation. That's Christ in our spirit.
Thank you, Dick.
You're so welcome.
For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.